And then after winning the NCAA title in 1946, Oklahoma A&M played NIT champion DePaul in a Red Cross benefit game.
That's right. We made him $50,000.
You made the Red Cross $50,000.
Yeah.
And that was played where?
Madison Square Garden, 8th Avenue.
And then you were, again, opposed by George Mikan.
That's right.
Tell us about that game. You won that 52-44.
And I fouled out. I was much embarrassed. The game started out, Zurich got three quick fouls. As I recall, there may have been just four fouls allowed before you were tossed out of the game. The second half started, and George got his fourth or fifth foul, I've forgotten which. Then all I had to do was stay out of trouble. So as a result, rather than having to play an aggressive offensive game, I backed off and rebounded and let my other guys cut the mustard.
Did you and George talk a little bit?
Well, George and I were not intimate friends, but over the years we became good friends, and I was sorry that he had to go the way he did. Diabetes is a tough deal.
He died. In fact, he had one of his legs amputated.
That's right.
You were named All-American 3 years in a row. In 46, you won the Helms Foundation Award as the nation's outstanding player.
Yeah.
You got lots of national attention, magazines, newspapers.
Yeah.
It wasn't just in Oklahoma. The nation knew about you.
Yeah, they did. The dilemma was mine, because George Mikan and I probably had offers. I got to remember that there was no TV. There was no cross-the-nation communications where sports writers were written up in New York and published in San Francisco. There were no big arenas, and there weren't that many investors who would put money into untested sports without some kind of guarantee of success when they could go start a new business or fill some void and make money. So people came to George and I and others in the basketball world at the time and says, here's our deal. George Mikan and I probably were the two hardest solicited players in the country at the time. And I think George got between $15,000 and $17,000. And I think it was Chicago Gears. But somebody told me one time that after the season was over, where George went with the Chicago Gears, George had to sue him to get the money.
Why didn't you turn pro?
Because there you are in college. Supposedly you are studying some discipline that's going to be your life's work. The education that you get in sports, playing as much basketball, as many hours as we did in Oklahoma State, for me, who was maybe just a little bit above an average student, to study descriptive geometry, 4 or 5 hours of chemistry, and maybe as many as 16 hours with tough, tough, tough subjects. And you practice 3 hours a day, never went home for Christmas or the holidays or New Year's. No, you can't cut it. I recognized when I was a sophomore that for me to be an engineer was going to take either more time out of my schedule, which was already short, or extend my stay in college, which Ivan and I never discussed, and I don't think he would have done it. He may have done it on the basis of my being an assistant coach or something like that. But I needed to put more into my field of study if that was going to be my profession. So what did I wind up with? Not a good education. Not a foundation that was solid where you could go trade on it. You could walk in and put a presentation on the table of a recruiter and you can tell the boss, I got a smart guy down here that wants to work for us. So it became a dilemma what I was going to do. On the other hand, I'm sitting in a state that I like. I've learned to like the people. And Phillips Petroleum Company was on the cusp, along with Caterpillar Tractor Company, Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company, 20th Century Fox, Deseret News, San Francisco, San Diego Dons. There was already a professional, semi-professional, or a shadow professional basketball league going, supported by corporations that made money. What happens? Some smart guy says, well, if we go get these cities to give us a little money, we'll build a big basketball court and we'll have a team. That's great, except that what you got was a one-year contract. Bobby ain't the strongest guy in the world, and he throws a knee out, and what's he got? He's got no education. He's got no money because he blew it on a car. he would be starting from scratch with nothing but a magazine with Saturday Evening Post, well, it ain't worth a damn for somebody that wants to make money. I mean, the owners. Who's going to invest in a deal like that that has a chance of failure? When television came in, and I didn't foresee any more than I foresaw Google, but until television came in, until you had communication across the country, until you had a better airline system, and you could go from place to place, you could have your own airplane, it was a dangerous thing to make a bad decision.